All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just give you something tonight. Hopefully it'll be very, very beneficial for you. Well, I know it will be, but I mean, something to really feed you. 1 Peter chapter 2, and then also get Hebrews chapter 5. Get both of those. And just a little principle here that you want to see from the Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll look at verses 12 to 14. Just a little principle here to help you. Help me too. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may, what's the next word? Grow thereby. Now look over here in Hebrews chapter 5 at verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The oracles of God are the words of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now notice from the two scriptures you've seen in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that when a person becomes saved, they're a brand new Christian, they desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby, and then after they mature from that, they go on to what the Bible calls strong meat, and that belongs to somebody that's of full age. So the Word of God is connected to your spiritual growth, which starts as a babe and then goes on into your adulthood or your full age, at which time you're no longer, you've been weaned from the milk, or you're not growing by the milk. You may desire it. I do. I'll still love the milk of the Word. But it doesn't cause me to grow anymore because my diet has changed. I'm on the meat of the Word. And so are many of you. So what you're looking at here is this principle of growing by the Word of God. Okay? Now, when Brother Hoffmeister was here, I think he preached Hebrews chapter 5. And I think he talked about spiritual nourishment. And the two points that he preached when he had finished preaching everything he wanted to say and didn't get to the other points was that some people are anorexic and some people are bulimic. Remember that? All right, well, we don't want to look at it from the same way that he preached this tonight. What we want to look at is this, how to know when you're growing spiritually by the Word. Okay, what are some things that you might notice in your life from growing by the Word of God? Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless this. And then let's just have a little discourse here concerning the Word of God and see what God has for us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Right now, Father, my personal attitude, my demeanor is that of a father speaking to his family about something that he learned in life that he wanted to teach them and encourage them in so that they could grow or learn from that experience. That's what's on me now. But Father, I don't know the attitude that you have in the sermon that needs to be preached. And Father, I don't know if this is a sermon today of encouragement or of correction or reproof or even of rebuke. But you know how you want it delivered, Father. And so we ask you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you take over completely the vessel that's here and just handle this sermon any way you choose. Father, we pray that you will certainly make it profitable to all that have come to hear, so that you will have accomplished everything you want to accomplish in my life and in the life of all these that have come, and glorify yourself in the whole process. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who comes to teach us and comes to instruct us and guide us into all truth. We rely upon you tonight and ask you, please, to do the will of God in this sermon tonight. Again, we pray for Pastor Bill Bailey and the Faith Baptist Church in Chehalis. Ask you, please, Father, to nourish that church well, grow it well. You know, our adversary, the devil, loves to get inside of a congregation and break it up. I have no knowledge of anything going on in that church, but Father, if he's knocking on the door trying to tear that place to pieces, I pray they will love each other and be like-minded, be bound together by the charity, that bond of perfectness, and that they will be secure and safe from anything like that. Take care of these families that are here, Father. And I pray again for Dennis Drake. He had a procedure done this afternoon. How desperately, Lord, he needs your help to recover from the condition he's in right now. And then I pray for Buddy at Robertson. Ann was here today, Father, and I pray for them and ask you, please, to give the doctors wisdom as to the concern of his condition, and please keep him from suffering. Comfort him. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I think it's important to know how you're growing. I think it's important to know when you are growing in the Word of God. Now, when you're growing physically, that's obvious to everybody. Okay? I remember when our children were young, we used to mark the wall. Many of you are nodding, smiling right now. You probably did the same thing. And here they were on this date and this age, and there they are there. And then, you know, you quit marking when you can't reach it. Some of these kids grow up taller than mom and dad, you know. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says that your child is in the certain percentile of growth, that their body is growing normally. And so when you're growing physically, it's easy to tell. You can see the growth. And if a person has grown to their full stature, but they are not satisfied with the size of their physique, they can go down to the gym and they can measure all the these parts, biceps and things like that. And then they go to work on the machines, and then they can measure again, see if they're growing. Those things are obvious. And then after you've done all that bodybuilding you want to do, and you've grown all the stature you want to, and you've already been married 20 years, and you don't have anybody else to impress, everybody can tell when you're growing then too. You have to go to the store and buy a bigger belt. So those things are obvious. But, you know, it's not obvious, not so obvious, when you are growing spiritually as a result of digesting the Word. And I think that was the point of Brother Hoffmeister's message. It's not how much you consume, it's how much you digest, how much of it actually goes in and nourishes you while you're reading. And I think from looking in the Scripture, there are probably some benchmarks, if that's what you want to call them, kind of like those marks on the wall, that you might be able to help you determine in your life that your life is growing spiritually like it should. Before we get into those benchmarks, I think it's very important for all of us to understand this. You are not going to grow spiritually apart from this Word of God. You're not going to. It's not going to happen. You say, well, I listen to good preaching on the radio. I watch so-and-so on television, and they're a good teacher. I come to church. You know, I believe that preaching of the Word of God and teaching of the Word of God are God-ordained methods of spiritual growth. I see that in Ephesians chapter 4. God gave pastors and teachers, and they are for the edification and the growth and strength of the body. I believe that. But I know from personal experience that's not enough. You're not going to grow all that you need to grow by simply being faithful in church and hearing the Word of God preached and taught. You're going to learn some things, no doubt. But it's going to require more than that. You have to read it and you have to study it on your own. I think when Brother Hoffmeister was here, he said a good pastor is not a pastor that teaches you the Word of God. A good pastor is one that teaches you to study it on your own so you can grow. And so there's a combination of that. He has to teach you the Word of God to get your feet settled in there right, so you're not strayed off onto something strange. And man, this generation seems to really chase after strange things in the Bible. You want to help you kind of stay in there, but you know, so that you can feed yourself. I think that's exactly the way he put it. It's not one that just feeds you, but it's one that teaches you how to feed yourself in the Word of God from reading it and studying it and then living it. Jesus Christ said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we have to live by it. If we don't have that combination, then we grow out of proportion. Okay? We grow out of proportion. Now, when you are growing by the word of the Lord, you're going to see some things. First of all, I think you're going to see an increase in knowledge. You're just going to know more about it. You're going to know more about what you've read. Somebody encouraged me early on, back in 1986, you need to read the Bible, and when you finish it, you just need to read it again, and you need to keep reading it. And I took that to heart, and I've been doing it ever since. The funny thing about it is that the more familiar you become, the more you know just what it says. Just know the words of God. When somebody asks you a question, there's a recall of where it is and what it is. You may have a hard time remembering the address, and you might not remember if it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but you know it's in there somewhere. And with a little bit of looking around, particularly if you read in the same Bible every day, you'll be able to locate it by where it's located on the page, and you'll be pretty sure of the vicinity in which it is, if it's in the Sermon on the Mount, or if it's near the crucifixion, or if it's in the middle of his ministry, or something like that. You'll be able to locate it, and it's just simply because you have become familiar with reading it over and over and over again. You'll know more Bible. Somebody said to me one time, said, well, I don't know if I need to do all that, because the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. You know, but that piece of a verse appears in a context. I guess you knew that. Okay? Why don't you go over there with me so we make sure we're on safe ground. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which is where that verse appears. Knowledge puffeth up. And it's true in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 1. And notice what he says here. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. See, there's another piece to that sentence. When he says knowledge puffeth up, he is comparing it to charity and says that between the two, charity is better because charity edifieth. Now, what's he talking about? Verse 2, he said, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And that's true. You only know a little bit. And same with me. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Now then he says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know, see there's his knowledge, that an idol is nothing in the world and that there's none other God but one. You know why he's making the distinction here? Because he says, even though I know that something to offer to an idol is nothing, if eating something that's been offered to an idol would cause another brother or sister to stumble, I won't eat it. And what controls me is not my knowledge, but my charity. My knowledge will make me proud in the face of another person who might stumble by what I know. But the accumulation of knowledge of the Word of God is not a bad thing. And you shouldn't be conceited by what you know. Verse 2 did say, if you think you know it, you really don't know it like you ought to know it. Okay? The accumulation of knowledge is a good thing. When you read Proverbs chapter 1, you don't need to turn there now. I'm going to read something to you just... get it while I'm turning there. Proverbs chapter 10 says this. He says, wise men lay up knowledge. They want to know. And John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, verse 10, when Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and asked him some questions, Jesus said to him, he says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He rebuked Nicodemus for not knowing more of the Word of God than he did when he came asking questions about being born again, or what eventually became about being born again. And Proverbs chapter 1 says that these proverbs were given to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. You're wise then to know more Bible and know more about it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I know when we quote that verse, we oftentimes concentrate on the last part of it, which says rightly dividing the word of truth, but the first part says study. That's what he says. It's an imperative. It's a command. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So listen. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. And please understand there's nothing boastful or proud or what's the word I'm trying to think of condescending or anything like that in my heart or in my mind in this sermon. If something tells you, oh, he's just trying to show off or something, if any distraction starts coming your way like that or whatever, drop that out of your mind right now. But I want to tell you something. Many of you are not reading your Bibles enough. You're just not. You say, well, you know, Sam Gipp comes over here and says he reads 40 pages a day. I'm not going to do that. And I heard somebody else say you're supposed to read 10 pages a day. I'm not going to do that. I don't know what's right for you, but God knows what's right for you. And you need to read what's right for you. It might be a page. I doubt that he wants you just to read that much. But, you know, if you're 6 years old and you have a hard time reading, that may be enough. You know the thing about the Bible that's troublesome? You read something and you'll know it pretty well for a couple of weeks, and then you get on down there about a month or two later and somebody says that, you go, oh, I forgot I read that. It has a tendency to start slipping away. Why? It's kind of a spiritual thing. It's not kind of a spiritual thing. It's a very spiritual thing, and it doesn't seem to hold in your mind like trivia. Look, some of you know everything there is to know about recipes. Some of you know everything there is to know about technology. Some of you know everything there is to know about guns. Some of you know everything there is to know about money. Some of you know everything there is to know about drugs. Some of you know everything there is to know about algebra and on, music and anything. None of that, I'm not saying that knowing any of that is bad. Some of you may know all the statistics of your favorite team. But you can't locate Jephthah in the Bible. And he's a very important person. As a matter of fact, he's mentioned in the New Testament. He's so important. But he's an Old Testament character. And you're going, oh, please don't call on me. I'm not going to call on you. This is not to make you feel like you got to crawl in a hole and be real sad you came to church tonight. This is to encourage you. Seriously. You're missing a great blessing if you're not learning more Bible on your own. There is such a privilege in there. There is such a necessity. And your growth is going to be stunted. Listen, there's nothing more troubling to me, or really, there's nothing more troubling than to go to a hospital and go visit with somebody who says they've been saved for a long time and been faithfully attending to church for a long time, and they don't know their way around the Bible. Something's wrong with that. What that tells me is their whole Christian experience has been one of living what they think a Christian life should be. And that's a frustrating experience. We don't know, Paul said, what a Christian life should be, but Jesus does, and when he imparts that knowledge to us in the Bible, then we begin to grow with a foundation upon which he can build. He said, but I just don't have time to read and study my Bible. Yes, you do. You have a television. You can make time. You have a television, you have internet, and you have an iPhone or some sort of thing where you can text, and maybe an iPad and a Kindle and a bunch of things. I don't know what you got. I'm not picking anybody out individually. And you spend time with those things every day. I challenge you to turn it all off except for the one communication device that is an absolute necessity. And only respond to those things that come your way. Don't send anybody a text to solicit a conversation. Just deal with the necessities. I challenge you for 1 week to do that and use all the time you ordinarily use with all that other stuff, surfing the web and everything else, in your Bible, and just see what happens. And you'll be amazed. You'll get tired of reading. You'll have so much reading time. You really, you say, man, I'm so loaded up, I'm sick and tired. I got to go watch a cartoon. It would shock you how much is there, but you really need that. The Lord wants you to have that. Like he says, wise men lay up knowledge, and the Lord wants you to know what's in his book. All right, now, that's part of your growth. I won't say one takes precedence over the other. That's just an element. And you know what? If your knowledge of the Bible is increasing, you're growing spiritually. And I'll offer this caveat somewhere in the message. Right now is a good place. There are some people who have a tremendous amount of knowledge about the Bible, and they are so messed up right now, they could not find their way down the street, much less all the way to heaven. There are many Jehovah's Witnesses that have spent a lot of time accumulating knowledge of the Bible, and they know nothing about what that Bible says. And the problem is, it all came to them by being taught, and the source of the teaching was a bad source. If somebody, listen, this is the way I read, this is the way I was taught to read. When I read the Bible, I pretend that I'm not a Baptist. I pretend that I don't know anything about it, and I pretend that I've never been taught anything by anybody. And I just go and read it and say, God, there's something in there today. Why don't you teach me something or give me some knowledge of something in there that I don't know? And you know what? The Holy Spirit is the best teacher in the world. And when you do that, you know what that does? That corrects some bad theology. And that corrects some misunderstanding. And that straightens out some bad doctrine. And anybody that would do that without being unduly influenced by other things on the outside would really start to grow with the knowledge they accumulate. I'll tell you something else you'll notice as a benchmark in spiritual growth. If you're really being nourished by the Word of God, not only will you see an increase in knowledge, but you'll see an increase in understanding. Now, understanding is completely different than knowledge because it's an indication that there's some skillful use of it, that there's actually something happening in your life, that your life is changing. You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And understanding is that element that actually begins to make that knowledge useful in your life, where your life is not what it was before. And it keeps changing and keeps getting better. You say, why? Well, there are two really good verses in the Scripture. You should see them. Turn to Job 28:28. It's easy to remember because of the double number, Job 28:28. And notice what understanding is. You know, when you start having this kind of conversation we are tonight, people will say, well, I know what knowledge is, but what's understanding? And how is that different than wisdom? Well, look in the Bible, and here's a good definition, a good word association for the word understanding. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Don't forget that, because we're going to talk about that in a bit. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Notice this, and to depart from evil is understanding. That's where the knowledge is beginning to change your life, and you are beginning to not be involved in some evil things that you were involved in before. Okay? And it's not just a matter of one of these things, well, I know that, and I feel guilty for doing that, and I know I ought to change, so I'm going to change it. No, it's where the Word of God is actually making the change, and your understanding is showing you to leave that evil and move towards something good. What do you say that tree was called out there in the Old Testament, the one they weren't supposed to eat? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when a person has understanding, they can recognize the difference. Do you know that, listen carefully to this, our society today that is a non-Bible reading society, the part of our society that's non-Bible reading, they have no idea of the difference between good and evil. As a matter of fact, their understanding is so limited today, they call evil good and they call good evil. What we're doing in here tonight, presenting authoritative words of God with absolute truth, to them is an absolute abomination. And this is the best thing you could be doing right now. And then when you carry out all those sins that the Bible calls sins and you reveal those, shine that light on that generation, and they look at all that, they scream and holler and say you're bigoted and narrow-minded and all those words. They can offend you, you can't offend them, but they can't offend you because great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them. You look at that and you say, you know what, I understand now. Would to God, every teenager, under the influence of godly parents and our youth pastor and his wife, would to God, as soon as they could start reading, They would read and accumulate knowledge and understanding in the Word of God so that when evil influences came their way, they could look at that and say, I'm not going to do that. That's evil. And they depart from it. They depart from it. All right, now look over here in Proverbs. You're in Job, so go to the right just a little bit. Psalms and then Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 9:10. You'll notice that wisdom is mentioned in Proverbs 9:10, just like it was in Job 28:28. But you'll also notice that understanding is mentioned in Proverbs 9:10 as well, just like it was in Proverbs 28:28. And notice what he says. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Watch it. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Isn't that an amazing thing? You are never going to know the holiness of God. You're never going to know the holiness of the Holy Spirit. You're never going to know the holiness of the Holy Bible until you leave some of that evil alone. Do you understand? If in the pig pen you want to keep going back over there to the pig slop, and holiness is a cleanliness that comes from not being in that pig slop, you can't be in this mess and be understanding the holiness of God at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. The pig pen's over here and the holiness of God is over here. And understanding is what gets you out of the pig pen and into the holy presence of God. Now, you know something? Over there in Romans chapter 7, Paul said that when he was a sinner before he got saved, and he was serving iniquity unto iniquity, he said, this is so important. This was a great revelation to me the other day. He said, I was free from righteousness. I was free from righteousness. You know something? Some of you got saved and then got backslidden. Some of us. Let's be clear here. Got saved, got backslidden. And you know what happened to us when we got backslidden? We wanted to be free from righteousness. We wanted to go into iniquity. And Paul says, once that Holy Spirit gets working in you and you are now ashamed of that iniquity and you want out of it, you are glad to be back under righteousness, to be in submission to God and under and yielded to the righteousness of God, which is going to pull you out of that evil and move you into something that's good and holy. Listen, I was saved, but I was in a backslidden condition. I saw a street preacher and I told the friend, you know the story. I said, look at that nut. And now I love being out telling people publicly about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? Well, I wanted to be free from righteousness. You see that? And so understanding is what conditions you spiritually to like to be underneath righteousness. You can't just be over here in the pig pen one day and say, you know what, I want to submit to the righteousness of God and just all of a sudden walk over here in His holiness with all that nastiness on you and like it. You're not going to like it. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people start coming here and they only come on Sunday morning? And then after a while they start coming on Sunday evening? And after a while they start coming on Wednesday evening? And they're wondering how come we don't have Thursday night church? You know what happened to them? Understanding. See, understanding. And they said, we like this holiness so much, we just want to be under all of it and in all of it and with all of it that we can get. This is when your knowledge really becomes useful. And that's one of the places where you can tell when somebody's gotten off in their knowledge, it doesn't lead to understanding. It doesn't change their life. They're still free from righteousness. They're under the bondage of some sort of a religious system. You got it? Okay, then we go on to something else. When your spiritual growth is there and you're really feeding on the Word of God and you're being nourished by it and your body's digesting it, there's an increase in knowledge, there's an increase in understanding, and obviously there's an increase in wisdom. Wisdom was mentioned in both of the verses we saw, Job 28:28, and in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. And what is wisdom? The fear of the Lord, Job says, that is wisdom. Now listen, years ago I had somebody trying to tell me what the definition of wisdom was, and he said, wisdom is simply knowing what to be afraid of. I said, yeah, that's right, but I didn't really understand it. The longer that I've thought about it and the more I understand it, you know, we are human beings that are built with a capacity to fear, and God made us that way. And when you fear the wrong things, you know what you do? You make bad decisions. That's right. Listen to that. When you fear the wrong things, you make bad decisions. Listen, when you fear men, because you're worried what they might say about you, you're worried about how they might talk about you in the coffee shop when you're not in the room, you're worried how they might treat you. That's what's called peer pressure when you're younger. Now, by the time, like Mary Gates used to say, by the time you're 94, you don't have any more peer pressure. All your peers are dead. But that's too late to start getting some wisdom, okay? Okay? So think about this. When you start feeling that fear of man, you cannot fear God and fear man at the same time. When you fear that one of your children might hate you because you are going to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you back off of that in order to maintain a friendship with them, guess what you get? You get what you don't want. You get what you don't want because you get a child that didn't get raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You got a dysfunctional family relationship. Because you're no longer the one in authority, now you're scared of them. When they do the move, you counter the move. They're the ones in control. You never thought about that, did you? And you make bad choices. When you fear God and He says, you better raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you make wise decisions. If they choose not to follow that wisdom, that's their problem, not yours. But if they choose to follow that wisdom, you know what is going to happen? They're going to learn to fear God, and by the time they are old enough to be out on their own, you can take your hands off, because now they fear God and they'll be getting wisdom directly from the Lord. And that's what you want. Listen, when you fear the outcome of this economy, and I grant you, it's messed up, okay? But when you fear that, you start making decisions in reaction to those fears, and several things start happening. You start having anxiety. You start trying to accumulate more knowledge so that you can make more informed decisions. And the more of that knowledge you try to accumulate, the less of the knowledge of the Word of God you have capacity to accumulate, and it affects your spiritual growth. Right? You know, I'm coming back through the Old Testament again, and I'm seeing all these people that God took care of, the widow whose prophet husband put the family in debt, and the creditor came to sell the two kids, and she went to the prophet and said, what do I need to do? And he said, what do you got? She said, a little bit of oil. He said, go get all the vessels you can and keep pouring, because as long as you keep pouring, they're going to keep filling, and when the last one is full, you're done. So she did that. She get all that. That was the instruction. She filled it all up. She went back to him. Now what do I do? He said, sell what you need to sell to pay off the debt and live off the rest. Do you know what? She was not plugged in to the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and the gold price index. And she did not need to be. All she needed to do is be plugged into God. See, why do you keep bringing that up? Because I know how it is. You're going to leave here after this, and you're going to go, man, that was good. I fed well on that. You're going to turn on the radio in the morning, listen to Fox News, and get all freaked out again. I'm going to come back here on next Sunday night and have to straighten y'all out again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear Him. You want to get a good night's sleep? Oh, you bet. You want to get a good night's sleep? I'll tell you what. Go to bed in the fear of God and quit worrying about all that other stuff. He said, when you quit worrying about all that stuff and you're no longer careful for those things, He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You're going to sleep great. You say, how do you know that? Because I figured out that was a problem with me. what that was, leaving here sometimes 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, and then get on the radio and listen to something on Fox News, and boy, you think, and if they do this, and then Ryan says this, and this guy over here does that, and then this guy over here does that. You know what that was? That was 2 solid years of nothing but foolishness. There was no way those guys were going to win, and they didn't win. Amen. And they said, well, if they do that, and they go over here, and they like this, and they go over here, and they give that, and put over here, and do this, answer that survey, and they go over here and put these people there. Our population structure and the way the demographics are, it wasn't going to happen. And he spent 2 solid years, And all that was so those guys that are on there, who are they all? Neil Bortz, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity, and O'Reilly, and Glenn Beck, and all that. You know what all that was? That's so those guys could make a living off of the ratings they got so that they could get the advertising, and they all made money off of that. And you got worked up and messed up for nothing. That's what I told myself in the mirror. Turn it off. I turned it off. I said, man, I just used that extra time for Bible reading. I'm telling you what, I just slept like a baby. Do you not know that God's in charge of all this eventually? He'll take care of you. You fear Him, He'll take care of you. You fear somebody else, He will mess with your life until you learn to fear Him. Amen. Well, now, when you have an increase in wisdom, I don't know why I got off in that way, but I sure been wanting to say that for a long time. I don't know if that was God in me or just me inserting something in there. Hope you liked it. Wise, you listen, you get some wisdom, then you'll be able to make wise choices. You'll be able to make wise decisions. You will associate with wise friends. You will seek and know when you have found wise counsel. And you will know to turn away from foolishness. So in you increasing, you'll increase in wisdom. Increase in knowledge. Increase in understanding where you're coming out of that pool and going into the holiness of God. Increasing in wisdom where you love to hear somebody speak the truth. And just get sick when it's like not the truth. We don't need somebody to make another dime off of his opinions. I want truth. Well, there's a couple other things in here. Let me just give those to you real quickly. I don't want to lose you. We've been having a good night tonight. Amen. It's been real helpful. I'll tell you something else you'll do. You'll increase in love. Turn over to John chapter 14. Just see this real quick. It's a wonderful thing. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, look at verse 21. Notice the association between the words of God, or His commandments, He says here, and the love of God. He says in John chapter 14 and verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's the guy that loves me. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Well, that's a good question. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, the love of God is associated with the love of His words and the obedience to His words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear, it's not mine, but the Father's which sent me. You know, you will find yourself increasing in love. Let me just slip this one on you real quick, and I'll give you the other one. Ann and I have been married almost 33 years, and it's a real objective of mine to be able to love her to my fullest capacity. You know, I really, for her sake, she has been so kind to me to leave the banking business, to go into school, not know it, with no certainty of what the future would be, to go through one church and leave and start over in the bunkhouse and go through all of this and everything that's involved, raise kids now that were preacher's kids and the whole thing. You know, I really, really appreciate that. And she's had to put up with a lot of stuff. And I want to be able to love her with all that I can. And I've tried this and that. You know what I found? And really, more recently, than a long time ago. I have found that the more time that I'm in the Bible falling in love with Jesus Christ, the more love she's getting. It's really true. It changes you. What happens is the Holy Spirit's in you, and and the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. The Father's in you. The Lord Jesus Christ is in you. Let me tell you something. They know how to love. They know how to love. And so all I say to you is fall in love. Delight in the words of God. They're better than honey. You delight in the words of God and spend time in the Word of God, falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing at the wonderful things you hear, and watch what it does to your marriage. It will improve. Guaranteed. And don't be so quiet. And then there will be one other thing that there's other things, but look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verses 16 and 17. If you're growing spiritually, you're going to notice an increase in knowledge, understanding, wisdom, love, and inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now notice, when we say, and you've heard me teach this before, I just want to reiterate it one more time, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I certainly believe that God told the authors what to write. I believe that. I think they wrote down, these are God's words here. They are in the King James Bible. They are in the original autographs. I believe that with all my heart. No problem. But he didn't say were given by inspiration. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration, meaning that the Holy Spirit is giving you an understanding in the things you're reading while you're reading, while they're being preached, while they're being taught. And I know that because the only other place in the Bible where the word inspiration is given is in Job 32:8, where it says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. You know, as you mature spiritually, there is a work of the Spirit of God in your Bible reading and study that opens the Scripture to you in a way that is absolutely the work of the Spirit of God, and it is, and the Scripture is then profitable. It gives you the right doctrine. It reproves you because the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It corrects you to bring you back into line with God, instructs you in righteousness, because that's what Jesus Christ gave us, and we need to be instructed in righteousness to make you perfect and thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. And I'm telling you, that's when you are really doing well spiritually. And it does not happen apart from the words of God. Now, I get emails nearly every day, and I answer them. And they usually are a question about something concerning the Bible. And it used to be that I would go through and do all the work and try to get about a page and a half answer. Now I just there's the answer. And the reason is, it's simply so that they won't become reliant upon a man to give them understanding in the Scripture. Just try to knock that little stumbling block out of the way and let them get back into the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit inspire the words of God to them. That's what's important. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You'll notice an increase of inspiration. God will be saying things to you, and you will notice the timing of what He's showing you in the Scripture is perfectly coordinated with where you are in your life. And you will actually see yourself living daily by the words of God, and you'll wonder how you ever attempted to live the Christian life apart from a daily dose of this book. Amen. Now listen, we'll wrap it up here. Has it been helpful? Boy, it's been helpful to me. Let's don't leave here tonight and just say, you know, I appreciate that. Go on back tomorrow morning, alarm goes off, business as usual. Go to work with this. You know what, I'm going to tell you one little thing so you see how it applied in my life. And this won't necessarily apply to you. My wife and I are on different bedtime schedules. She likes to go to bed sometime before the sun rises. Not really that late. No, that's it. She's up doing laundry and stuff. You know, sometimes till 1:30 in the morning. And I used to try to stay up with her to a point, maybe midnight. But my body does not respond well to that. So I've got to be in bed. Well, I got to hurry up so we can get home. If I can get to bed around 10:30 and fall asleep right around then, 10:15, 10:30, and wake up on my own somewhere around 5:30, 6 o'clock, I function really well. And everybody has a different schedule. I'm just giving you a little bit of light. You know what I now have? I have an hour and a half of undisturbed, quiet time that I can spend in prayer and Bible before anybody else in the house. Well, they get up at 7:15, hour and 15 minutes. Before the time they're messing with me, it's 7:30 already. I cannot tell you how protective I am of that time. Guard it with my life. You know why? Because of these things in here. You have the time, but you may have to change something about the way you do what you do in order to be able to find that time, get alone with God and that book, and get these things in your spiritual growth. Amen? Amen. If that's what's working for me, I'm not saying that's what's working for you. Just go find what's working for you and take this and make it profitable in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to be able to read and study the words of God. We thank you so much for giving us some things that we should be noticing in our lives as we're growing spiritually. And that's what I pray for our congregation, Father. I pray they'll grow spiritually, and when they do, that they'll love you more and reflect your holiness that's working in them, and turn away from wickedness that's in the world, and delight in you, and delight in each other. I pray our fellowship will get sweeter, that we'll even be more like-minded than we are, and we're so like-minded as it is, Father, that we will be so glad to just do those things that you're trying to get done in our lives. And I pray our marriages will improve as a result, and our understanding of the words of God will improve as a result, and our witness will improve as a result. Our relationship with you will improve as a result. And I pray, Lord, you'll be delighted. Thank you so much for showing us these things tonight, and I pray you'll really bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.